All right. Hello and welcome to Masterclass 10. So beautiful to be here with you today. I'm back in Sydney. Mel, I think I saw that you are here with me live. Let me just bring up my list of participants. Beautiful to see you here, Mel. I think it's been a little while since I've been able to chat with you in a class. So really nice to see you. Thank you for being here. We'll wait and see if anyone else joins us, or else I'm just going to dive on in, because this is officially, this is Masterclass 10. This is officially our last Masterclass apart from bonus class. I was going to say bonus classes, but I do have a feeling I think I'm going to wrap it up into one class for you, because I think the two classes I was going to teach as bonus classes actually combine really, really well into one class. So I'll keep you posted about that, but that will be happening next week. But in terms of the Masterclasses, this is number 10. This is number 10 out of our series, which means we're pretty close to the end of our journey together in this mastermind. It's been, we're sort of 4.5 months, be over 4 months, almost 5 months in, and what an amazing journey it's been. It's been so special to share this with all of you. And I say this in the workbook. Oh, hi, Carol. Beautiful to see you again. We spoke yesterday on our other group coaching call. I say this to you at the start of the workbook, that this is a beautiful chance to start to reflect. And as you're coming into this workbook today and this class today, to just be reflecting on what this past, let's just say 5 months, this journey has been like for you. What has shifted, maybe even how your desires and visions and what you thought you wanted to create or do has shifted. As you've moved through, maybe it hasn't, maybe it's still the same, but I think this is a nice point just to reflect as we're coming to this final class. But it's interesting, I always see the end of these programs, and I particularly see it in this class. The end is like the beginning. It's like when it's the end of one part, it's the end of, I often see my courses as kind of a foundation, a starting point, a bouncing off point, this period of work where you are really doing the inner work, laying the foundations, getting clear, getting solid, preparing. And then when the course ends, it really is a leaping off point. It's a chance now, because sort of through a program like this, you've pivoted. Hang on, I'm just going to turn that over because it's distracting me. Through this course, you've pivoted in terms of, things within you have shifted. And now, as you come to the end, you're facing in a new direction and you're ready to forge forward on a new path and step into new things. And I said this in the masterclass I ran last week on intuition, and I'm going to say it again today. The theme of today, when we're talking about expansion and playing bigger and up-leveling your vision and stepping into that and moving forward into what's ahead of you, feels so aligned with what I'm personally feeling and working through, what I feel is the collective kind of theme for this second half of this year. Because really the first part of this year energetically has been exactly what I just touched on. It's been preparation, laying foundations, inner work, clearing out the old, clarifying our vision, really being like, what do I want to make of this year? And there's been some big inner processes going on, and I really feel the second half of the year is our chance to start to really materialize and build and create what feels like a reflection of what's already been cultivated and created within ourselves. So I was even just reflecting on that this morning. The past couple of days, every day that I've been waking up, my guidance is just saying, the next level vision, Connie, the next level vision, it's time. It's time to create and step into and manifest and materialize the next level vision. And next level can mean anything. It's whatever it means to you. And it can be in every area of life, in any area of life. There's one area of my life that's thriving as my next level, and that's been unfolding very, very naturally. And I'm being guided at the moment now to look at the next level of my business vision. It's time to really step up and show up for that. So, this takes me right back actually to our very first masterclass, because when I talk about whatever your next level desires are, whatever the desires are that are ahead of you, whatever playing bigger means to you, whatever you want to step into now. I remember saying this in our very first class, it's not a process of let me come up with my desires and make a plan and think about what I want and sort of have to come up with that myself. It's more like, let me tune in and listen for and feel for what is ready to be created through me now. What is ready to be made manifest, what expansion my soul is ready to experience, what new qualities I'm ready to embody, how I'm ready to grow, how I'm yearning to expand. So it's less of like, because, you know, I know when we start talking about things like playing bigger and visions and desires, it can get really heady. And I want this to be more of a coming in and listening and feeling and receiving what is ripe and ready to be born now, based on all of the inner work that you've been doing. And again, it's, you know, desire for me is a process of listening and receiving from within and holding space to feel for the desire that's stirring within me, that's kind of been given to me from a deeper part of me, showing me and telling me what is now ahead of me and what I'm ready for. And I know based on, you know, Mel, you're coming to mind at the moment. I know based on wherever each of you are at, and actually same for Carol, maybe some of that's still a little bit unclear. Maybe you're still discerning and refining what is that next thing for me, what is ahead of me. But it can, you know, it can come through in two ways. It may come through as a real vision, a real clarity. And I feel like now Kate's coming to mind. I feel like, Kate, maybe you have a bit of that. You have that. I kind of know now what I'm aiming for. I know what I want this to look like. I've got that vision. For others of us, and I sort of dance between these two spaces, for others of us, it's more like we may not have the full big picture at the moment. And if you don't have that, don't try to force that. But I was talking about this in my group coaching call yesterday for my women's group coaching program, that it's okay just to follow whatever one step you can see right now is right in front of you, and that feels like the first step to take. You may have a sense of what you want to move towards next, of what feels like the vision, in terms of a sense that it could be, I want to work for myself. I want to be working in a field of helping others. I want to be sharing my wisdom. I want to be being creative. I want to contribute in some way. I want to be able to talk about the things that I'm really passionate about. That might be a really general, vague, broad kind of level of clarity you have. I'm sorry, there's a child outside yelling. I was like, what is that sound? We've got a public holiday here today. Maybe that's all around Australia. I'm not sure. Anyway, don't get distracted. So you may have the vague feeling and essence of what you want, but your clarity may only be, okay, I can only see this one first step in front of me right now, which sometimes that first step is something we dismiss because it's so simple, like, you know, post on social media or, host that event or connect with some like-minded people or start studying something that you're interested in or start writing, start offering something. But the way, you know, our moving towards the big vision can unfold, and I said this yesterday, is like little breadcrumbs, and you don't always see all of the steps. You only see one step at a time. And you take the step and it's like life gives you a little breadcrumb, like there's this little breadcrumb trail leading you to where you want to go, but you only get one breadcrumb at a time. You have to step onto that first breadcrumb and pick it up and own it and do whatever it's asking before the next one appears. So I'm just mindful of anyone feeling overwhelmed, confused, unsure what's ahead of them. It's okay if you don't have a clear vision of that at the moment. You might have an essence of that, but we just start where we're at. And actually the most powerful thing you can do is always just being in the present moment, feeling for, listening for, asking for whatever step you can take right now that will support and facilitate your expansion and will help you come into greater alignment with what it is that you're wanting to experience in the future. But I do want you to see if you can, I'm just looking over what I've got here in the workbook for you. See if you can start to play in the space of, you know, what I'm calling here, playing bigger, thinking bigger, really expanding your mind. And sometimes this is just fun stuff to do, to not think from a logical, practical, how will this happen kind of place, but literally from, if I could create anything, if I could have my life be any way, oh, I get these little bubbles of excitement through my heart when I think like this. This is how we want this to feel. We want this to feel exciting. Like legit, if I could create my life to be any way that I want, in any way that would bring me the greatest aliveness, joy, freedom, happiness, abundance, whatever it is I want. And if I put no limitations on that, no limitations from my mind around that's unrealistic, how will that ever happen, people in your life won't support that, that's not possible. If I didn't put any of those limitations, which are just simply mental limitations based on things that you've learned and experienced through your life, but if I tapped in to the limitless possibilities of being an infinite being, of being a soul that can create anything, of coming from my heart that is like infinite love telling me what's possible for me, what would I desire for my life? If I could think that big, if I could really expand my mind to entertain any possibility that would feel the most joyous and fulfilling to me, what would I create? What would I desire? What would I love to see manifest? What would I love to experience? And I truly think this is, we can't actually really expand unless we start letting ourselves think like this, because we think so small, don't we? We're so limiting in our thinking. We really just look at what's in front of us and say, I will determine what is possible for me based on what I see with my eyes. Then you're just doomed to manifest the same over and over. I want to share a little story, and I was hesitant to share this because I didn't feel if it was relevant, but it keeps coming into my mind now. Just a little manifestation story, because this demonstrated to me, because what I'm feeling at the moment from people who I'm, I don't know, just from you collectively, is that some of you are bumping up against what's limiting your desire is other people. Like what's limiting your belief and ability to dream, sorry, let me find the words. What's limiting your willingness to really think as big as you want to think is you're thinking about other people or the external world and whether or not they will cooperate and go along with it and support it and agree with it. There's something around that. When you take your attention off anything external and you come solely into your vision and your desire, people in your life change. External circumstances change to support what you want. And this is why I want to tell this story, because this blew my mind right open. This thing that manifested for me on Friday blew my mind. Let me just try, I'll just try to condense the story. I don't want to waffle on about it. Basically, I think some of you have heard me share that I am interested in moving away from Sydney, potentially living in Bali, to be honest, something I'm exploring. So I had my 2-week trip in Bali, loved it, and really began feeling that I would like to live there. I am dating someone, as you may know, it's sort of like 5-6 months with him. Things are going really, really well. And the whole time I was in Bali, I'm feeling this pull to Bali, but I'm thinking, what am I going to do about this guy? Like, oh, should I have a conversation? Should I talk to him about it? Should I ask him if he wants to come to Bali? Should I say, you know, should I sit down and have this chat and blah, blah, blah. But I kind of put that to the side, and I was just in the joy of Bali. And I would very often each day be thinking about what it would be like to have him there and experience it with him. But I didn't do anything about that. I really was just in my joy and in the desire and in the possibility and really listening just to what felt really good to me. And I came back from Bali and I saw him a couple of times last week, but I saw him on Friday and we were just talking and he started talking about wanting to do a trip with me. And he was talking about wanting to go to Tasmania. And I was like, yeah, cool. Tasmania is cool. I'm like, it's a bit cold. but cool, we could go to Tasmania. And he goes, or we could go to Bali. And I'm like, yeah, we could go to Bali. He's like, well, if you wanted to go back, how soon would you want to go? And I'm like, I'll go whenever because I love it there. And I said, look, in all honesty, I don't even know if I want to be in Sydney anymore. So I'm happy to go to Bali again. He gets up, gets his computer, and he's like, let's look at flights. And I was like, okay. Within an hour, we have booked a flight to Bali together. We go in 6 weeks for 2 weeks. And this was like, I was literally having these explosions in my mind of like, is this really happening? Is exactly what I want just manifested without me even doing anything? All I did was hold the desire and I didn't put any limitations on that desire. I didn't come back and think, oh, I've got to have this chat, and I didn't, you know, got to get serious about it and figure it out. I just held that desire. It moved through him. He played the role to be exactly what I wanted and needed. It was his idea. He initiated it. He planned it. And we're going on this trip together, which is exactly what I want. But I didn't have to do anything to get it. And I'm still processing it because it's been such a miraculous manifestation. And I think the reason I'm stressing it is because I had limitations in my head, a story of he won't want to go to Bali. He would never want to live there. I don't know if he wants to travel with me. That's a really big thing to do after a short period of time of being together. I had all these limitations and a lot of fear actually of being like, what am I going to do about this guy? Because I just don't think he's going to want what I want. But when you really own your desire and it's a true desire that's coming from deep within, the external world changes to support you to have what you want. It's like, I don't know, I mean, he's just playing a completely different role now to support me to have what I want. Now, that could have manifested very, very differently and he may not have supported it, but this is just a demonstration of how we can't get caught up in what we think are the limitations on what we can have. If I'd stayed stuck in that story, I might have manifested him to play out my belief about the limitations. But because I stayed purely in my joy and my desire, he played the role of actually supporting and aligning with exactly what I wanted. It's blown my mind. And I'm like, wow, having what you really want can be this easy? Like this easy? Wow, right? Thanks for your support, guys. Carol says, this is exciting. Marnie's got goosebumps. Thank you, beautiful. Brigida's saying, I love that. Carol's saying, love how you became more clear and then the communication started. Can I jump on that for a second, Carol? That is a beautiful point because this is what happens with desire, right? So I actually felt the desire back in April to want to move to Bali. I'm not saying we're moving there, but this is a step in the direction, right? I had the desire in April and I remember my mind saying, you have to sit down and have a chat with him. You have to sit down and tell him what you want and ask him. I really wanted to have that like ultimatum chat and be like, so are you in or you're out, mate? Because like I'm going to Bali, are you coming or not? And that was my mind wanting to take over and control. And I was out of alignment. I was coming from doubt and fear and trying to control him so that I could have my outcome. And this is what we often do, right? So the heart gives us a desire and then we go, right, I got to get in charge of this and try to figure out how to make this happen. And we actually are sometimes acting prematurely. We're acting out of alignment and we are trying to force and control some divine plan that's unfolding. So Carol, thank you for bringing that up because obviously it's been 2 months of me having to patiently sit on this desire, marinate on it, feel into it and really, really have the courage to take my hands off it and be like, just got to trust Connie that if a conversation needs to happen, it will happen at the right time. You'll know when you need to have it. And maybe the universe has a plan here that you just need to wait and see what unfolds. And so I worked more on my alignment, my connection with my desire, my owning of my desire, my certainty in my desire, rather than rushing ahead to whatever action I thought I needed to take. So I think that's a really beautiful demonstration of one, how effortlessly things can manifest for us, two, the importance actually more of the inner work around your desire rather than just the action work, and three, the importance of not pushing and rushing things, really feeling for, okay, I'm feeling I want to take this action. Does it feel aligned? Does it feel like the right time? Do I feel fully ready for it, or am I trying to rush it and push it because I'm afraid it's not going to happen, for example? That's been one of my most miraculous manifestations of this year. It's been quite magical, actually. And I was reflecting this morning, being like, why is it that, say, in my business, for example, it doesn't quite feel as effortless as that? Because I noticed, this is to Carol's point too, when I get a desire in my business, I automatically feel like it's my job to make it happen. Like I get this energy of like, rah, all right, let's knuckle down and do some work and make it happen. It's an energy that's very difficult for me to shake. It's a real natural just tendency. So I'm trying to play with this dance, and I was journaling this morning about my next level vision, and my guidance was saying it's all about the energy alignment. And I know I've said this to you so many times, but my guidance just says it to me over and over and over. It said to me, the expansion you want to experience in your life has to be felt within you first. Whatever you feel your next level desire will bring from a feeling perspective, you know, I was feeling like I want my business to feel light and free and abundant and supportive. They are feelings that allow my energy system to expand. I'm like, oh, I feel more expansive, right? And I have to create that feeling of expansion within myself and my energy body first before I can expect it to come and be reflected back through the circumstances of my business. So, where were my notes? I made some notes this morning of some things I want to talk about. So when we're working with desire, here's some steps I want to move through with you around what I would encourage you to do and sort of what I'm beginning to do with this next level vision of my business is spending time. And I spent some time this morning, and you might like to make it part of your morning practice, just each day just listening in, feeling for what you desire, and where you can, not putting any limitation on it. Any limitation. None of the, but that's not possible. How would I do that? That won't work. That person won't support me. I don't have the money, whatever. To the side. Giving yourself permission to just be in the playful space of desire of how good it could get and how magical it could be and how good it could feel. Like, really, what would you love? Is this about doing work that you love every day? Is it about having dream clients? Is it about having your work well received? Is it about feeling fully self-expressed? Is it about quitting that job that you have? Is it about traveling? Is it about just feeling like you're really living your purpose, or you're really reaching your potential? Starting to just letting yourself every day, just going into the heart space and feeling for the desire, journaling about your desires, whatever comes to mind. And when, you know, go back and revisit that class on energy alignment that I spoke about. But the step after that is not then, cool, what do I need to do? The step after that is first, I energetically align with it. So I imagine it. I see myself living it in my mind's eye. I feel the emotions in my body and the energy in my body of having it. What would that feel like? What would that look like? What would my inner experience be if I was living that way, if I manifested that? What would that be like? And you play in that space for a while, feeling it, allowing your energy body to expand and actually experience it before it's even manifested. Because I didn't even realize I was doing that when I was in Bali. And it wasn't until I reflected when I got back and I thought about my manifestation process that I realized I spent that whole 2 weeks in this blissful space of desire of just being like, oh, how beautiful would it be to have him here? It'd be so cool. And there was nothing else after that. I would just play in my mind and be like, oh, that'd be so nice. And so I was actually connecting with the feeling of having it without even knowing. I was just kind of daydreaming a lot of the time. So that's actually a creative process. It may feel like nothing's happening, but you are recalibrating your energy body. You are expanding internally before you expand externally. You are coming into alignment. You are, you're actually getting to experience on an inner level what you want before having to wait for it to manifest. So I want to give you those two things that are part of an inner practice of energy work. And then, you know, something else that will come up there is potentially is the word I was looking for. The mind will present some obstacles, some fears, some doubts. And when the blocks really present and perhaps they're strong, that might be a chance then to work through them. And I think in some of our earlier classes, we worked through a lot of tools and things you can do when those blocks arise and how to work through them. But you might then do some journaling around, are there limiting beliefs here? Are there very strong feelings of I'm not worthy, that's not possible, I can't do that? And if so, that needs to be worked through. We don't want to just ignore that stuff. But this is where, you know, there's a lot of ways you can work through your blocks. Sometimes it's just feeling them, experiencing the emotion that is around them. And as you feel that emotion, it can begin to dissipate just through the processing of that feeling. There might need to be some new stories written. We did touch on that in another masterclass. Rewriting your story. I know for me, I really have to rewrite my story around money at the moment because I'm working on some up-level stuff around money and I'm really bumping up against old stories of like, yeah, but you've never done that before and that's going to be really hard work. I can't see how that's possible. So there needs to be new stories written that are in alignment and will help you move forward. Consciously choosing new belief system, practicing affirmations, things you can be repeating to yourself and saying to yourself that will actually get your mindset in the right place to support you to move forward rather than holding you back. Changing your focus even, because it's very easy to have a desire and then focus on all the reasons why you can't have it, why it's not possible and why it won't work. Versus what if you were to change your story to all the reasons why it is possible, why it can work, why you can have it, why you are worthy, why it is why you are capable, all the examples of other people who have done it, all the times that you've overcome something in the past that you thought you couldn't do, all the reasons why you are deserving and worthy. You can actually change your focus, either focusing on what you don't want and why it's not possible or onto what you do want and why it is possible. You have the ability to do that. Carol, the less I express, the more I get back into my heads and stories. Do you mean express, Carol, in terms of having conversations with people or express in terms of processing what you're feeling within yourself? I'd love to know a bit more around what you mean around that. But you're right, because when something arises in you, be it a fear, limiting belief, emotion, it's rising because it wants to be cleared. It's right. There's an energy there, whatever that energy is, and that energy needs to move through you. You know, I often use the analogy of like you get a bottle of soft drink and you shake it up. If you leave that lid on it, the pressure is going to build, and that's what causes us to loop in the head, and we loop and we loop and we loop because there's all this energy stuck inside of us. It gets up in our mind and you go loopy, loopy, loop, right? But like take the lid off the soft drink, let it all come out, and then you just got empty space and you feel calm again. So when anything is rising, Carol's saying, yeah, expressing feelings with myself and with others. Yes. When anything's rising, we don't want to say, oh no, I've got to stay in energetic alignment with my desire and I can't focus on that. We need to honor that and look at that. But I remember even with this stuff with this guy, I did have fears and doubts arise and I acknowledged them. But what I remember feeling was, I just remember feeling such a commitment to my desire that I was like, even if he's not on board, I'm going to Bali anyway. I was so committed to following what my heart was calling me towards. I remember thinking, if he's not on board, well, I'll talk to him about doing long distance. And if he's not on board and he's not, can't support what I want, well, then maybe he's not right for me anyway. So I felt really detached around, even when my fears and worries and concerns were coming up, I witnessed them and I felt them and I noticed them, but I was so devoted to what my heart was calling me towards that that wasn't enough to stop me. So you still want to acknowledge that stuff when it comes up, and there's a lot of different things you can do around journaling and processing or expressing or getting coaching and support or things that will help you clear your blocks. Like I said, rewriting your story, changing your focus, using affirmations, processing maybe where those fears came from, a lot of different stuff. But what I want to say on that, and this obviously ties into what I was saying just then around coming back to my desire, and I touched on this in my group coaching call yesterday, is as you at any point go to move forward or do anything or even just connect with the energy of what you want and the head really takes over with its fears, worries, concerns, doubts, what I suggest you do in that moment is almost let go of whatever you're thinking about at that time and let go of any need to take action especially, and return to the place where the desire came from. I think I've said this to you guys before. Return to that original feeling, that very first feeling of desire you got before you ever even then thought about it further. The reason why you desire it, the excitement of the desire, the impulse of the desire, why it's important, why you're ready for it, why you desire it. And that is such an important shift because you're going to feel a desire, feel the possibility that this is why I want it, this is why I feel so good. And then you go to start moving forward and the mind goes, but how is this possible? This won't work. You can't do it. Let go of that at that moment and just return to where is that place where that desire first came from, that feeling, that excitement, that aliveness I get when I think about it, that joy. The reason why this feels so good, the reason why I want this, come back to that, and that's alignment. Return to that as often as you can. You know, we often in business talk about coming back to your why, but it is really important, and I have to do it constantly, coming back to my why, because I lose my why all the time. I shared this as well yesterday that I remember when I was going through my Divine Femme launch, that was a really interesting process for me to witness because I fell out of alignment quite a few points along that launch, just to be transparent, because I was, I went overseas, I got my period, I had a 3-day migraine, there was all this stuff going on and I'm like, shit, I'm trying to do a launch. It was like crazy. And I fell out of alignment quite a few times, which is just how it is. It's okay. It's hard to be in alignment the whole time you're in a launch. But what I would do when I would fall out of alignment, and when I say fall out of alignment, I would begin focusing on limitations. So doubt, you know, looking at numbers, the numbers aren't where I want to be. This isn't working. I'm not going to hit my goal, whatever. I would let go of trying to take any action in that moment, trying to do anything. And I would return to, why did I create this program? Why do I believe in this message? Why is this important? Why am I so excited to teach this work? Why did I create this in the first place? What is this going to do for me to teach this work? Who are the types of women that I want to share this journey with and why? Why will this be valuable for them? Why do people need to hear this at the moment? Universe, bring me the people that need to go on this journey with me, that this message is for. You asked me to create this course. Who did you ask me to create it for? Bring me those people that are destined to walk this journey with me because this is the work they're ready to do in their own life and I'm here to support them. I come back to the why. Why did I create this course? Why is this important? Why am I excited about this? Why am I passionate about this? And I'd find it again. I'd find my alignment again. And then from there, I would do my Instagram post or send my email or speak about the program. And there was a lot of times through my launch that I was very quiet and I judged myself a lot. I was like, oh my God, Connie, you're meant to be in the launch. You're not even sharing anything. Because I was so out of alignment. I'm like, there is no point taking action from that space. I need to wait until I can feel that I can come back into alignment. And that, you know, the launch actually went really well. I mean, by the end of the launch, I was only a couple of numbers short of the exact number that I had decided that I wanted for that launch. So it ended up all manifesting exactly how I wanted and desired, but the way it unfolded was very not what I had planned and was very much based on all of this work I had to do to come back into alignment, because my misalignment was at times throwing out my outcomes, which is fine. You always have an amazing learning experience through any type of program launch or event launch or anything. You will learn so much about yourself. And so we continue just to stay present and take things one step at a time, come back into alignment and feel if there is any inspired action step from that place. Ensure that as you're moving forward with anything you're wanting to create, always be celebrating and acknowledging what is manifesting, even if it's the tiniest thing. If there's something that you're wanting to step towards and create, and you get the tiniest little pop of manifestation that's the slightest bit in alignment with that, like you happen to talk to someone who's like, oh, I'd love to learn more about what you do, for example, that's a manifestation. Make sure you acknowledge that. When I'm in big periods of wanting to create things, I'm journaling every day, making note of any tiny manifestation, any step that I took, anything that unfolded that is proof and evidence that I can use to show myself that what I want is going to happen. Because it's very easy to focus on what isn't happening. Any of these times that I've done this like celebration of these small successes, it has completely surprised me when I read back on it, because there's all these little things that are manifesting that we dismiss and we don't notice if we're not paying attention. And then we go, oh no, what I want isn't happening. But if you really make note of all the tiniest, even like an email inquiry that you get, a comment on your social media where someone says, I really love what you're sharing, whatever it is, a book you get guided to, anything, you come to recognize that there's a lot happening and you're getting a lot of support and your desires are manifesting and things are changing. And then the more that you focus on that, the more that you see that, and then you've got all this proof to show yourself, see, I am progressing, things are happening, I am moving forward. But we forget to stop and look for those things and appreciate and celebrate them. And all we do is focus on, you know, we're like, yeah, but my big goal isn't here yet, so it's not working. And that's just going to keep delaying what you want if you're always in the vibration of it's not here yet, it's not here yet, it's not here yet. Versus it's happening, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening. Look, 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 here's the proof, here's the signs, it's happening, it's happening. Mel, totally appropriate that your period was a key part of your Divine Femme launch. I think the universe was right there with you. It was a toughie. There was a lot of surrender. Really, really had to surrender. And I really had to rely more on my energy than my action. So I realized that I feel like my action wasn't where I wanted it to be. And I was a bit annoyed at myself about that, but it's interesting how, my body actually kind of really pulled me out of action. It just, my body needed so much rest. When I first got to Bali, there was a massive, the vibrational change between Australia and Bali was quite dramatic. And I find when I go into a place, a country, anywhere with a new vibration, there's a real big calibration that happens in me. I often get headachy and sick because I'm like calibrating now to the vibration. And I was so fatigued that I had no choice. Yeah, but to rest and surrender and use my energy to create what I wanted in terms of my alignment rather than my action. Thank you, Mel, for that support. Is there anything else I want to say? Yeah, so I mentioned that. Let me just see if there's anything. Another thing that I mentioned here in the workbook, you know, because I talk about a few things in the workbook because I'm a real combination person of energy work and action and spiritual work and practicality. I think we need both. I'm not ever going to say you only have one or the other. They have to combine. The workbook will take you through things that are related to both. But one of the things I ask you in the workbook is to tap into the version of yourself that is living in the reality that you desire. Because I really feel, and I've probably said this millions of times, but I really feel this when it comes to desire. Your soul like doesn't care that much about the actual desire itself and doesn't care whether you're a life coach or you're running your own business or you're like, it's not about the external stuff. for the soul from that deeper perspective. It's about the growth and the learnings and the expansion you experience in who you're being. It's who you're going to become along the way as you step towards that goal. I always feel like if my soul gives me, like, I don't know, say double your income, it's not about the money. Soul doesn't give a shit about money. It's not about that. It's about who will I have to become? How will I have to change and up level my mindset, my energy in order to be able to call in that next level amount of money? I will have to go through a rapid's not the word I was looking for. I don't know what word I was looking for there. Rapid, perhaps. I was hearing rapid acceleration. Doesn't have to be rapid though. But a real acceleration and ascension and up-leveling of my energy, my state of being, my mindset in order to come into alignment with that goal. So your soul is always much more excited about who you're going to become along the way versus actually reaching that thing. And so any desire you have that's really coming from this deeper part of you is not as much about, and don't make it too much about the external. This is really about your growth and evolution. Your soul is asking you to break free from and move beyond old limitations that you are continuously placing on yourself that are keeping you disconnected from your true purpose and potential in this lifetime. It's all about stepping into more of your full potential and exploring and uncovering what you're really capable of. From a soul perspective, you're capable of anything, anything. It's only the human self that's putting limitations on that. And so this journey is all about, let's break off a few more human limitations and experience and embody more of your soul and who you truly are. And there's a real feeling of aliveness that comes through that process. You feel incredible as you move through that growth process, even if it's sometimes uncomfortable. So we want to focus more on who will I be? Who am I becoming? What is different about me when I'm living in this reality? Am I living with greater self-worth? Am I living with more boundaries? Am I living with more self-love? Am I living with more self-respect? Am I seeing what is wonderful about me? Am I feeling more free, more abundant, more joy, more play? Am I more self-expressed? Am I more empowered? Like, what is different about me when I'm living in this, whatever this reality is that I want to call in my future? And that's where, I mean, what you can realize. Beautiful. Thank you, soul, for the unconditional love. I love that, Carol. How beautiful. So beautiful. I feel that. Come back to me, train of thought. What was I saying? I could usually find it again. But it's gone. Wow. You would know what I was saying. I don't know what I was saying. Version of yourself. Yeah, okay, got it. When you focus on the change in your state of being versus the change in the external, you realize that you can create that change really, really fast, because it's much of a faster process to shift your change of being, to shift your state of being than it is to change all your life circumstances. You can change your state of being like that. You can step into embodying different qualities like that. The material change, the external manifestation of that may take some time. So I've really been playing with, okay, who is the woman that lives at this income level? Who is the woman that has this type of relationship? Who is the woman that runs this type of business? Let me feel and find her energy, her qualities, her mindset, her way of being, and do whatever I can right now to step into her, even before things have changed externally. So working on the state of being level is really, really powerful. But I do ask you here a little bit around action. I click through my workbook. I encourage you to think a little bit about action, because, you know, if this feels too heady, you can leave it for the moment. If it feels too heady, some of the exercises in the workbook to think about action and future planning, for some of you that will be really useful and supportive. For some of you, you'll be like, ooh, that actually feels out of alignment to do that. So just notice how you feel. But it can be supportive to actually really think about, okay, well, if I want to be here in 6 months or 12 months, what steps will I have to take? And what step will what step will have to happen this month and then the next month and the month after that? Because I'm one of those people that I sort of have this mindset of like, oh yeah, yeah, it will all eventually work out. I'll eventually get to my goal. But really, like if say I said by next end of next financial year, I want to be making this much money. It's not enough for me just to be like, oh yeah, yeah, cool, I'll reach that figure. It's probably like, okay, well, within the next 3 months, we'd have to focus on launching this and launching that and making that amount of money. And then next year, we'd have to look at launching this and launching that and making that amount of money. And that's where you just bring in that more practical side, and you don't have to limit yourself through that, but actually get really, like, kind of real about it, right? We can't be airy-fairy about this stuff. And be like, oh, yeah, yeah, that money will just come. Actually really seeing, you know, particularly, okay, I remember this with if you want to quit your day job. If you're like, okay, 6 months from now or a year from now, for example, if this is just an example, I don't know if any of you are in this situation, but let's just say, for example, I want to resign from my day job. Rather than sort of like, oh yeah, that'll eventually happen, it's like, well, let's get really real. Within the next 3 months, I have to make sure that I've opened up a new income stream. Then within 6 months, maybe I'd need to have this amount in savings to support me as a buffer. Then in 9 months, I would need to have another offering to make sure there's enough money coming in when I quit my job. Now, you don't have to think like that, but it can be supportive. We did this in creating your transition plan, I think, actually. But that can be really supportive. And I remember doing that when I left my day job too. It was really like, I knew I wanted to leave my job. And I'm like, well, that means right now I better start coaching. So that's why I started coaching for free within a month of doing my training. I was like literally a month of starting my training. I was like, I'm going to have to start coaching now because I want to get out of my job as soon as possible. So I better start getting on with that now as a way to set myself up for what I want in the future. So it's worth thinking about. Just play around with, you know, there's exercises in here that are kind of more energetic, obviously, and then there are things that are more practical and action focused. Just work through it in whatever way feels right to you. And I ask you there as well to really think about what steps are in your comfort zone and what steps are outside your comfort zone, because most of us will think to or want to take the steps that are inside our comfort zone. That's worth really looking at. Oh, can I think of a couple of steps there that are real stretch steps for me that would actually create massive expansion if I took those steps? Like, again, this is just playing bigger. Like, I'm playing around with stuff like, could I run a retreat in Bali? I don't know. I've never run a retreat before. That would be way outside my comfort zone. That would be brand new. But that would really expand me and accelerate my journey and challenge me and help me grow in a massive way and create this whole new offering in my business. I'm just playing around with examples, but that's an outside of comfort zone kind of step for me. So you want to look at both, and you want to look at places where you can really stretch yourself and things that would really expand you. Because yeah, sometimes our mind will shut off to those things because we'll just be like, oh, that's not possible. But it's actually a very, very valuable thing to do if it feels like it will be really expansive for you. And then I take you through some stuff around staying motivated, and I hate the word motivation. Like, I just really don't like it. I don't know why I used it, but, motivation to me has a push energy to it. And that's why I think I don't like it. I think sometimes motivation can feel like, you know, you're out of alignment and then you need to try to motivate yourself to take action from a place of misalignment. And that's not really what I support. So don't get too caught up in the word motivation, but I prefer the word inspired, because to me, inspired action versus motivating yourself into action is action that you actually really feel to take because you're connected to the why and the passion behind what you want, and then you feel inspired to move and act towards it. May not always be comfortable action, but it's more inspired. But I would almost say then, how will you, because the workbook asks, how will you stay motivated, say over the next 12 months as you're working towards your goal or desire? And I would almost say, how will you stay inspired? How will you stay inspired and on track to continue to take inspired action towards what you want? And so it's important to think about what does help me feel the inspiration to move towards what I desire and to move beyond my discomfort. I guess an example for me, because I actually noticed this coming back to Sydney, as much as I'm just like, I don't even want to be here. Like, I really don't. I kind of am so bored. But I could see how easy it would be to just get back into my routine here and kind of stagnate. And so I'm like, well, how do I keep myself inspired with this vision that I have to potentially be nomadic for a little while, moving around, traveling, experiencing different places? And one of the key things is I've got to keep traveling. I just have to keep up that energy. And even if it's inconvenient or expensive, I've got to keep booking in these trips that will allow me to stay connected to the energy of what I felt when I was in Bali and what I felt when I very first got my desire. Or, you know, I remember when I was setting up my business, or even before getting into doing my life coach training, I would constantly be booking myself into workshops where there was, you know, soulful speakers and like-minded people and people who were following their dreams and people who were doing inspiring things to keep me tapped in to my desire. You know, this is why I say, if you come out of a, they often say this, you come out of a personal development seminar. Have you ever done those seminars where you're there like for maybe 3 days and you're like, yes, everything's different. And then you go back to your day job and before you know it, you kind of like can't even remember what it felt like in that workshop when you were so inspired. And so they always say, you know, after these types of trainings or events or immersive things, you've got to have ongoing stuff set up to keep you connected to the energy. And sometimes that's like, you know, have a vision board. And for me, it's like I rewatch my Bali Insta story all the time, or I'm following a lot of people from Bali now who are entrepreneurs who are living over there. And I'm watching all their stories around how they're living and working over there, because it's keeping me connected to that possibility. You know, and it may be things like I will need to hire a business mentor who will keep me on track with what my bigger picture vision is. We've got to have things that keep us tapping into what we desire. Otherwise, we will just keep falling back to what is comfortable and familiar. It's very easy to do. Marnie saying, love that idea of booking in regular trips to keep up the energy. Yeah, because it was really easy for me to be like, oh, cool, I went to Bali. I don't really need to take a holiday again for the rest of the year now. And I'm so glad this stuff came up with Jason, because it's been perfect for me to know I'm going away again in 6 weeks. And then we're also talking about going to New Zealand after that. And it doesn't even have to be with him. It's things, you know, I want to go back up to Burleigh and see my girlfriends up in Queensland again. And but whatever it is you're wanting to step into, you know, we've got to have ongoing things, whether it's, yeah, going to workshops with like-minded people, or yeah, doing ongoing training and courses, or yeah, staying connected to your vision through whatever inspires you around that vision, or yeah, continuing to do little courses that activate your creativity. Or, oh, Mel says, yeah, he come to New Zealand. Yeah. Well, Jason's a Kiwi. So, he wants to hike through New Zealand, which would be interesting for me. I'm not really a camper or a hiker, but I like hiking, just not tents. Anyway, we'll deal with that when that happens. But I'd love to come to New Zealand, Mel. I have a real pull there, actually. I feel pulled to quite a few different places, but New Zealand is one of them. How cool would it be, actually? I just had this idea to run an event in New Zealand. That'd be fun. I've never thought to do that until now. Anyway, we'll think about that one. Carol, recently my lack of motivation has been helped by getting back into the space of owning my choices. Yeah. Yeah, tell me more about that. How does owning your choices, how has it helped with motivation? Because isn't it interesting? And this is why I like the word inspiration more, because it does feel like it comes from within. Sometimes with motivation, we can sort of feel like we're waiting for motivation to find us, or we're waiting to be motivated. But Carol's saying, when you own your choices, yeah, it makes me feel empowered that they are my decisions and not relying on others. Yes. Because again, like I said, we can be waiting to feel inspired or waiting to feel motivated and waiting for things to change versus no, like I'm going to take full ownership of where I am, of what I've created, of what's going on, and realize, we were talking about this yesterday, Carol, in our call, realize if I own it completely, that means I'm in charge of it and I can change it. The things that I'm not owning, that I'm, you know, saying are happening to me, I don't have the power to change them. As soon as I own where I'm at and I realize that I've created it, then I'm back in charge, and then I can start to make some different choices and create something different for myself. And that's naturally motivating and inspiring, isn't it? Rather than, another day where I'm just waiting for other people to change and I can't get where I want to go because no one else is changing. And yeah, Carol's saying it's an internal feeling, not external, which is beautiful. It's that inner motivation that you find when you really own your life and you own your desires and you own your power and ability to create change. Then life gets exciting because you're like, I can change this stuff. I can create something completely different. And that you feel naturally inspired by that. It's exciting. Wow, what can I create then? You know, I always think about in any moment that you make a different decision or take a different action or do something different to the way you normally do it, you're creating change. You've just created change in that moment. You've either changed yourself or you've changed your circumstance by making a different choice, handling it differently, showing up differently. We actually can create change in any moment if we show up in a different way, do something differently, respond differently, whatever it is. The minute you're different, things are different. And we forget that we have the ability to be different in an instant. Brigida, I have found continuing my education, for example, like this course, helps me stay inspired with my work. Beautiful. Definitely hanging in there to get my book done. And I'm literally having ideas of where I can expand that didn't even pop into my head or heart until getting to this point. Yeah, beautiful. And expansion is like this ripple effect. You start with taking sort of whatever steps feel like the initial expansion. And then from that point, then further expansion comes. Further ideas come, like following the breadcrumbs. And then you realize there's a whole loaf of bread there that you're like, oh my God, this is an amazing loaf of bread. Wow. I didn't even realize that that was possible for me until now. I think I remember that with Bali. The first step was booking a holiday to Bali. That was just a first step. I never really thought about potentially living there. I mean, it's all still play ideas. I don't really know, but the first step was just following the impulse to book a holiday. That was my first breadcrumb. And then I did that. And as I began planning the trip and looking at people living over there and exploring what life there would be like, then more breadcrumbs dropped in around, hang on a second, Connie, you don't have to be in Sydney if you don't want to. Hang on a second, there's a lot of people over there who are living over there and running businesses. Hang on a second, you could do that too. Hang on a second, the guy that you're dating works for himself. He could potentially come with you. Oh my goodness. And so like then your mind goes pow, 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 pow. But only from sort of taking the first initial steps of what you're being guided to do, and then more opens up, right? Yeah. Brigida, listening and feeling into those breadcrumbs. Absolutely. Because the whole plan unfolds one step at a time. And, you know, your deeper part of you isn't going to give you necessarily the whole big plan right off the bat, because it will probably overwhelm you. Carol, do you think motivation could also come from a space of needing approval from others too, rather than from yourself? Yeah, I think so. Definitely. What would be an example of that? Can you think of a way that's playing out for you at the moment? I actually feel like this is where it pulls me out of alignment, my expansion in my business. I've noticed sometimes I feel motivated to expand so that I can prove to others that I'm a success. It's like I see other people, you know, running businesses with making however much money or whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah, I want that too. Because if I achieve that, it will show that I'm a success like them. I've come out of alignment sometimes with my expansion that way, by making it about, yeah, proving myself to others. Yeah, Carol, maybe in a work situation, trying to get pats on the back. Absolutely. Yeah, that could definitely. And look, There might sometimes be external things that motivate you. You know, I'm definitely motivated by really wanting to add value to my audience. And I love the receiving feedback of how what I've shared has been valuable for people. That's a big motivator for me, for sure. It's both the joy I get from doing this work, but it means a lot to me to receive the feedback and to know that it's been valuable. And I think It's definitely hard when you're trying to do your work. I know this happened to me a lot at the beginning, and you're not getting so much of that feedback. So of course it's motivating, and there's a lot of external things that can motivate us. Money can motivate us, you know, praise, recognition, a promotion, you know. A lot of us are motivated to exercise, not just because it feels good, but because when we get to see our body change in the mirror and we get this external kind of proof that that changes are happening and we feel better about what we're seeing. So it's okay to be, you know, at times motivated by the external. I guess say if in a work situation where it's like getting pats on the back, the only issue we have with external motivation is that we will continue to perhaps strive for something, you know, that's outside of our control, that's in someone else's control, and whether or not they pat you on the back is kind of in their hands, isn't it? So you might sort of feel like, yeah, but I'm doing all the work and where's my pat on the back? Or in relationships, so, you know, I'm giving so much to this person, like, where's my stuff back? So, you know, if I was only doing my work to get external validation, I would be addicted to it and I would crave it and I would need it in order to feel good about myself. And that's it, that can't be the only thing that motivates you. Yeah, Carol says, I guess motivation can feel like you're progressing, for example, the body change. But look, if you notice, okay, the main thing that motivates me in my work is getting pats on the back, just notice how that works for you. Does that feel empowering and sustainable to you? Does it feel like you're in charge of your motivation, or does it feel like it's in other people's hands based on how they respond to what you do? Just bring some awareness to it, and no judgment of it being the right or wrong way to be motivated, but you just more so assess, does this work for me? Is this sustainable? Does this allow me to get the feelings I want to feel, or is it in other people's hands? Yeah, Carol's saying in other people's hands for sure. So you might want a bit of both there. Sure, in these working environments, it is very much based on either feedback or praise or recognition, whatever. But there's got to be internal motivators for you there as well, whether it's your own pride through the quality of work you deliver, the way you show up, the way you handle things, whatever, you know, makes you feel in integrity with the person that you want to be, where you're proud of yourself and you're happy with the way you're doing things and you are acknowledging yourself maybe for how hard you've worked, for delivering that outcome, for producing a great report, whatever it is. We can give ourselves the pats on the back, can't we? I think that's a really important thing that I've had to learn as well in my work, is that I might share something or do something and it may not be received in the way I was expecting or hoping, but if I'm proud of it, that's all that matters. If I can look at it and say, that was beautiful, I love the way you wrote that, I love the way you shared that, I knew that came from the heart, you really care about that message, or you know, you did the best that you could there, then I get to give myself the pat on the back, whether or not someone else did. Yeah, beautiful. All righty. So play around with the idea of, yeah, some playing big in your mind, some thinking big, some expanding, some where would you love to be 12 months from now type of thinking. How good could it get? How magical could it be? If there were no limitations, what could you create and experience? Start to let yourself play in that space and then begin to do some of the energy work to tap into the feeling of that now and step into embodying the energy of that person now. And then from there, taking those inspired action steps as they present that will help materialize that. I really think as well, I'm being guided to do this around what you want to create by the end of this year. Let's begin to think about that. Or, you know, by this time next year. It's so funny. I was watching this thing with Jason the other day, this NLP training, and they were talking about the power of outcomes, you know, having an outcome you want to reach for. And you so often forget about how important it is to really have an outcome. Because she was saying, you know, a lot of people say, I just want to be happier. I just want more money. Well, you know, making 1 cent more, $1 more is still more money. We've actually really got to get clear on what is the outcome I'd love to experience. What would this look like? Let me see if I can get specific. It may not always be easy to do, but the more specific you can be around what the outcome is you're wanting to reach for, and the more powerfully you can language that, the more likely you are to manifest it, and then you can really know what you're actually aiming for. Yeah, that's just something I was thinking about. Does anyone have any questions, anything they want to ask or share about this class or as we're wrapping up? So I am running a bonus class next Monday. I will give you the details of what that's going to involve. That's going to be quite a bit of me sharing, although I've kind of already done it through this whole program, but me getting a bit more down into the details of how I built my business, how to build a business in this industry. If there's any questions you have around things like life coaching, getting clients, how to be a coach, any of that stuff, I can talk about it in there. I know in my previous mastermind, people were really interested in life coaching as a profession, and how to actually do that work and how to be a good coach, for example. But yeah, this will be a class all around, yeah, building a business, particularly building a business in this sort of wellness industry, things that I have picked up along the way that have really worked for me. What's helped my success, how I work, you know, a few of you may already know some of these things, but that's what that class will be all about. So if anything comes to mind, if you do feel you would like to be expanding your business or setting up a business in this space, and you have any particular questions of things you want me to cover, it's crazy. I get literally DMs almost every day on Instagram. Hi, Connie, I really want to be a life coach. Can you give me some starting steps? How did you build your business? And I'm like, I can't sum that up in a DM. Like, it's so hard. I really struggle to answer those questions. So I'll probably have to do something for my wider audience about this too, because it's, people have a lot of questions about it, and it can seem, you can look at people that you admire in the industry and think it looks so easy for them, or how do they even get there? But there's like such a process and a journey to, you know, moving through, the progression of, say, doing some training and starting to build up a business and expanding the business and making enough money to cover your bills and all of that. So Carol's saying, yeah, you need to charge for that. Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I'm like, thanks for coming to ask for free coaching advice on Instagram, but that's what my clients pay me for. So yeah, I actually, there's a woman that I follow who I've connected with a few times, who I love on Instagram, Madison Headland. And she saved it on her story highlights. She posted about the boundaries she has in her work, particularly on Instagram. I wonder if I can find it, because I screenshot it. And I messaged her and I was like, amen, sister. And it was a really good reminder for me around boundaries and really honoring your time and energy. And I know it's so easy. You know, I'm big about giving away free content and helping people for free. Like, I think that's part of contributing. I don't feel the need to charge for everything. But definitely when, you know, I have 8 years of experience building a business, that's not something I just give away willy-nilly. That's something that's been a lot of hard work. Let's see if I can find this thing. Oh, I have so many photos of myself in here. Where would I have screenshot it? Actually, let's look on our Instagram. Because I used it the other day with someone, something that she had said, and I just communicated my boundaries. Yeah, so it's on her story highlights. She said here, this is just what she's put up on her story, and she obviously communicates this to people. She said, my boundaries: I do not coach or offer any personal advice in my DMs. Please click the link in my bio to book a call with me. I do not receive podcast requests or event requests in my DMs. Please email my team. This staff member will take good care of you. Unless I ask for feedback or advice, please don't share it with me in my DMs. Even if it's well-intended, I will always ask you if I want your thoughts. If you do have thoughts, feedback, or a lengthy personal experience that you want to share with me, please ask for my consent before sending it. Please do not message me about why you disagree with my spiritual beliefs. I know myself, I trust myself, and I'm not open to Instagram conversations to correct my understanding. And I was just like, fierce, right? Fierce communication of this is my boundary and my standard of how we communicate on here. And that's something I really need to implement on Instagram because people do, and I had someone while I was away make a very personal comment about me that I'm kind of like, that's not okay. Message me and make a really personal comment to me in my DMs that I'm like, DMs aren't like we're best friends. Like with some people it is, but that was a real reminder for me that it's okay for me to say to people, I don't offer coaching guidance via DMs. Or if you want to know more about this, come into my mastermind and that's where I'll teach you about it. For example, like you're allowed to do that. So that was just a really, I don't know how I got onto that. Yeah, Brigitte is saying, I love that, setting boundaries on social media. I'd never thought about that. Well, I never sort of thought that it was okay for me to be that fierce. And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to talk to people on DMs, because I do. I chat to people quite a lot there. But when people, for example, who don't even know me, haven't built any form of relationship with me, and people are in there every day asking for advice. Can you help me with this? I've got this struggle. Can you offer me advice? And I'm like, wow, you know, it's totally fine if people want to ask that, but it's my role to communicate my boundaries. And as Madison kind of gave me permission to do, it's okay to just say, I don't offer that via DMs. Here's where you can go to find out more information. So yeah, it's actually a really powerful thing to do. Okay. I think I'm going to leave it there. So there'll be a class next week. We also have our last group coaching call this weekend on Sunday. If you'd like to be there, I would love to see you there. And I will be sending you a reflection workbook as well, which is similar to sort of your pre-program workbook, but reflection workbook. And it's a chance to reflect over the course and integrate some of your learnings and really think about what this whole journey has been about for you. If you haven't yet done a June video, please post one. I'd love to hear from you. I've been a little distracted last week just with coming back from Bali, did an overnight flight, had lots of things that needed my attention when I got back, but I'm really grounded back in today and I'm just catching up on everything. So I'll get back in just watching all of your videos that you've posted so far. But if you haven't done a June video, please do one. I'd love to see it. All right, loves. I think that's all for now. We've got a few more things coming up. So I will see you then either on Sunday or Monday. And of course in our Facebook group. And yeah, just excited about the new stuff opening up from here. Have a beautiful week. Thank you, Marnie, for being here. Thank you, Brigitte. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Mel. I'll talk to you all soon. Bye. Oh, thanks, Tash. I didn't see you were there. I just saw you right at the end. Didn't know you were on the call. Beautiful to see you, my love. Talk to you all soon, guys. Bye.